But this morning I want to talk to you about the gospel of Christ. It's a simple lesson, one that I've dropped off other lessons and kind of formulated this one to go along with some other comments. But the gospel, of course, we know means good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, beginning. It says there, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Another passage along the same lines about the gospel being the good news. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, about verse. Well, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. It says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it was written in the prophets, Behold, I send a messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And then, of course, picks up the account there about John the Baptist, which we're all very familiar with. But let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 3. It says there, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who perish, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of Christ and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, our Lord, your servants for Jesus Christ's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine in the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." So we begin to see very close what seems to be talking about the glory of the gospel and the gospel of Christ, and how much we should appreciate that. Another passage in Second Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, it says, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us, with the Lord Jesus, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the earth, from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of His power. We'll come back to that later on in the lesson, but we've quoted this, used this many times to see how the gospel must be obeyed. And let's go back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. Says, which is, I'm sorry, verse 6. It says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what you have heard, what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we have, than what you have received, let him be accursed. That's far enough. We see there that there is only one gospel, not 2, 3, 4, 15, or 500. There's one gospel. And so we look to find out what it is, what is the gospel. Well, first of all, it's very obvious that we can take the gospel. It can be taught. We can learn from it. It's conveyed to others through words. And we are, as Christians, we're to be doing just that. The gospel contains facts to believe. What are those facts? Well, indicated that it's talking about the death, the birth, life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Those things. And certainly those are undeniable facts that we come over and over and over again to make sure that we have them instilled and ingrained in our minds and in our hearts. But also, we see that the gospel contains commands to be believed, commands that we are to repent. I tell you, neighbor, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3. And then, of course, being baptized is another command. We see that especially in Acts chapter 10 and also verse 22, chapter 22. And then also the gospel contains promises. Promises to be enjoyed, hope, eternal life, all of those things. Our prayers are to be heard. Again, words are simply vehicles of thought, and God has conveyed His thoughts to us through the inspiration of the Scriptures. And so we see that the gospel is not unlike any other daily newspaper or whatever. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning in verse 12. It says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, and for the Lord's sake, whether to the king and supreme or to governors, as to those who were sent by him for punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. So we see that the gospel is not just something to be laid on the end table or a coffee table in the living room. It's to be read. That's how God communicates with us today, through inspiration. But who is the gospel for? What was God's intention to reveal to us the gospel? Well, it's to every creature that is able to believe and obey the truth. Mark 15 and 16, where the apostles directs, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every creature. Those who are able to believe and obey. The gospel has saved murderers, blasphemers, sorcerers, immoral individuals. And in Acts 10 talks about a good individual, Cornelius. He was a good man in Acts 10. The gospel will save you and I today. But we have to obey it. It's not just something that we believe or accept, but rather we have to obey, do what it says. Not just because Ken Cooper or anybody, any other man, but rather what does the Bible say? What does the gospel teach us? It produces, of course, we know, it produces faith. We read that at the very outset of our lesson this morning, and that purifies the heart. It leads us to repent, to turn, and that changes our life. I remember several years ago now, Bob Dickey and I had crossed paths a number of times, but he was preaching at a congregation about 10 miles from where we lived, and he called one morning and asked if I'd come over and studied along with him, another fella. Well, when I got there, found out very soon that he was a bartender, I guess is what you call it. But he was a young man, and you could tell that he was very emotional. And we talked about the gospel, its power, and what it would do. And I left. Bob called me about 15 minutes later. I was just about to get home. And Bob called back and said, can you come back up here? This guy wants to be baptized. And so that's what transpired that morning. But the rest of the time, he became a very faithful Christian. He was not married when I met him. But soon became married and was very active in the congregation there where Bob was preaching. So the gospel is for everyone, you and me and every other amenable person. The gospel will save us if we obey. And when we talk about the effects of the gospel, it produces faith, purifies the heart, and it leads us to repentance or change. It leads us also to be baptized into Christ, which changes our state or our relationship. Look at Galatians. Galatians chapter chapter 3. Beginning verse 26, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs, according to the promise." So we see the promises that were made to Abraham now come down to you and I if we'll simply obey and trust God. And then not stop there, but try to do all that God says for us to do. It makes one, first of all, it makes one a Christian. That's not some kind of magic wand kind of a thing. But rather, what does God want of us? What is the good news? The good news is that Jesus Christ came to this world and offered himself as a perfect sacrifice, his blood, that we might have the forgiveness of sins. And not only that, but that we enjoy the benefits of eternal life. So, and it also makes one a member of the church, or those that were obedient on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Also in Mark chapter 16, which we read a little bit ago. So we need to obey the gospel. Obey and be saved. Or those who do not obey will be lost. Look at again the passage in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, it says, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel, who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So we see that as important as faith is, baptism is also essential. We cannot refuse to do that. And while this is a simple lesson, it's one that we can easily share with others. And so if you're subject to the Lord's invitation today, we want to encourage you to respond in simple trusting of faith. In obedience, will you come as we stand and sing?